This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my two favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Outstanding because he throws his heart and soul into it, and he does an outstanding job, and I can't wait to see him on Saturday. Tony Caltricone, welcome, Tony. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Heart and soul for sure. After last year, I think I lost my voice for about 6 months after last season's 14-1 run. We had a lot of fun.
Well, they gave you a lot last year, which I want to get to Jed and Jed Fish and what he has done. To have the turnover in roster and to have a short window on runway to do it, what kind of job has he done to get them to this point?
Really good job. I mean, I think he's a really good coach. I think that it was unfortunate that it wasn't just we were already going to lose 13 NFL guys after last year's team. But then to lose the head coach and all the staff to go, and then to have this new era where when the coach goes, the transfer portal window opens up for 30 days. So you can lose a lot out, but you can't really get a whole lot in other than from maybe a couple other programs that lose their coach in a similar situation. It was really hard. Like, it was really hard getting through spring ball. I think we had, like, seven or eight offensive linemen. You know, we didn't even have it too deep. And what he did, trying to galvanize the support of not only just putting a roster together, but doing it for a transition into the Big Ten Conference with more travel, with, you know, against programs with bigger budgets, more resources, crossing time zones, all this stuff. This has been a very difficult transition, and, you know, here we are, 5-4, bowl eligibility kind of still hanging out there as a thing that we could get, and really, you know, I think we really got straight up beat in two games this year. There were two other games where you got a lot of self-inflicted wounds from a young football team against Washington State and Rutgers that cost Washington those games.
Yep.
Where they outgained Washington State by 100 and won the turnover margin and still lost the game. That was the first time in 15 years they lost a game under those conditions. And then they outgained Rutgers by 222 and still lose the game. It was only the second time in Husky history that's ever happened. So, like, they've played well. Now it's just about, like, can this young team kind of come together? And I think once he has a chance to, like, recruit his own guys, get in the transfer portal, fill some of the holes, and have multiple portals to do that with, I think Washington will be really good next year. But it's about trying to lay that foundation this year and finish this year strong. That's what's still hanging out there for Washington over the last three games.
Tony, the player that Jack Ham and I keep talking, and we've talked about him for maybe 6-7 weeks now, almost every week he and I have just, like, in conversation brought him up, that's Jonah Coleman. What kind of running back has he developed into for this team?
Yeah, super good. I mean, like, just a bowling ball of a body, really strong. You know, the first time that I saw Jonah Coleman run was in our indoor practice facility in the spring, and he kind of takes off up the right sideline after catching a swing pass out of the backfield, and he turns on the jets. And I was impressed not only that I saw how fast he ran by, but also that I felt the ground shaking underneath me when he ran by. Because at 230, 235, with the kind of strength and the power that he has, and then his ability to still be elusive with that weight, his jump cut is dynamic. You saw it on the 19-yard touchdown run last week against USC. Yep. And, you know, I just think there have been a lot of times this year where that guy should have been taken down in the backfield. I think 90% of power four running backs would have been hit for a TFL. And he turns it into plus four, plus six. That's a really good running back there.
Denzel Boston, I really like. Latu, the tight end, I really like. But the trigger guy we all know is Will Rogers. How much of the Mike Leach influence is in there as to how he plays the game for Jed?
You know, I would say that's probably been the only thing that has been a difficulty for Will. I mean, he's got all the experience. He's, you know, a great leader, a great kid. Locker room is totally rallied around him.
Right.
But just a lifer going out of the shotgun, now being asked to go under center, the way that he kind of has to turn his back on play action and just other things like that, that's been kind of an adjustment for him. Less time being able to, you know, read the field and the defense. That's kind of been hard. We've seen a handful of box snaps between center quarterback exchange. You know, I think all things considered, he can really read a defense. He's a different quarterback than Penix in that he doesn't have the howitzer of an arm that Penix had.
Right.
But he's super bright in the way that he sees the field, very safe with the football. You know, I think the other challenge for Will is he's not the most fleet of foot quarterback, and it is a young offensive line that has just been cobbled together. And they're, I mean, that's what I'm looking at this weekend is can this line hold up against your very physical, highly touted front six, front seven? You know, can they protect Will Rogers and give him a chance? What they will do, Steve, and as a play-by-play guy, you'll have to have your spotter all over this, is they will very randomly bring in the backup quarterback.
No,
randomly.
Williams will just come
down.
Yeah, Williams will just come in the game. And, Tony, I am the spotter.
You're old school, man. You figured out how to do it, and they're not adding to the budget, are they? So,
no, not in the least.
But Williams is dynamic. He's got a lot of talent and a really good runner. He's they call him the face of the future of Husky football. Yeah. True freshman quarterback that has a lot of moxie.
Tony Castricone joining us, the voice of Washington football and basketball, which means he has to make two trips in here this year. so then next year I get to go out and see you for basketball.
Right.
But Tony, I want to get to the defense because the defensive numbers are really good in this team. Fans will know here the name Bruner. Now, if you're a Washington fan, Bruner means everything. But for Pittsburgh Steelers fans, Mark Bruner played tight end for them. Carson Bruner, I mean, Tony, I think there are athletes that play certain sports. There are guys made for the sport. To me, Carson Bruner is a football player. Did I do well with him?
Yeah. It's character, first and foremost. You know, Mark's got an amazing family. Great wife, great kids, then adopted kids as well. They've been foster parents. You know, Mark is beloved here in Seattle, and he still works for the Steelers, I think, as a scout.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, his son Carson is just a class act. And, you know, I think not only a great leader on the inside of the defense, but he's been playing through pain all year, separated his shoulder against Washington State, and just has not been 100% all year. And yet, week after Washington State, he's out there full extension on an interception against Northwestern. Of course, he had two picks against SC last weekend. Right. Also led the team with 12 tackles. He was a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. And, I mean, you know, there's what we really love about this defense is, you know, Brew is a fifth-year guy, but we've also got a handful of other sixth-year guys, you know, guys that have been here through four head coaches, through an empty stadium at COVID. I mean, guys that are just like the identity of this football team. Cam Fibikulannan is one at safety. Alfonso Tupuatala, another linebacker. Jacob Mand is on the defensive line. Drew Fowler was a walk-on for five of those 6 years at linebacker. They just got some really, really meaningful pieces. And then a guy by the name of Belichick that's running the defense as the coordinator.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask you, because I know we only have a limited window with you, and that is about the new Big Ten. Now, you just coming off a game with USC, so it felt like old home week last week, including a great goal line stand, by the way, which was tremendous. But what has this felt like being in this conference first time through?
You know, it probably feels different for me than most others out here because I'm from Ohio.
Right. No,
and
I knew
so
that.
So for me, it was special to go to Kinnick Stadium and to Bloomington and now the Whiteout at Penn State. I mean, these are I grew up watching football at these stadiums, right? So, you know, to me, it's incredible. I love it. I will say it hurts my eyes to look at the standings and try to just, like, you know, you kind of, like, are used to looking for your team. And
no kidding.
Kind of just immediately, with a quick sight of the standings, you can kind of be like, you know, we're seventh. I can tell that. I got to sit there and count with my fingers, like, what place we're in right now because there's just so many teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am excited to be aligned with this conference. It's elite football. It's tradition. And I got to be honest, after having traveled the West Coast, you know, I do miss a lot of the places that we used to go to.
Sure.
But I think that Washington and Oregon are the two fan bases in the legacy Pac-12 that kind of most mirrored the passion and the depth of like history and tradition that that you get in the Big Ten, and so I think the brand alignment is really perfect.
Do I have time to slip in one more with you here?
Oh, absolutely,
yeah. That's about your fan base, because even to this day, and I'll mostly get this in basketball when I go down to College Park, but the Maryland fans really miss the ACC. They really do. How has the fan base at Washington felt about all this?
Yeah, it varies. I think the thing they're lamenting the most is the fact that Washington State didn't come along.
Yes.
You know, that's a historic rivalry that was our season ender forever. The Apple Cup, Washington State, is very similar to a Michigan State feel where it's houses divided. You know, a lot of friends from high school go to different colleges and all that stuff. And so, you know, the fact that that's now a week three non-league matchup, I think fans really dislike that. But I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for, A, being in a Power 2 conference, B, you know, the newness of all of this. And I do kind of wonder, like, all right, once it kind of wears off and we're in year four and you got a road game at Rutgers, like how much are people going to be engaged with that? But I think it's going to evolve again before then. So, like, you know, I don't think we're at the final iteration of college football by any stretch. But I think our fans have been really supportive. We've sold out most games, and I think that shows just what a great job Jed has done engaging that fan base as we chart the way forward.
And believe me, the win over Michigan engaged them too, so that probably felt really good.
Right.
Tony Castricone joining us, the voice of Washington football basketball. I can't wait to see you on Saturday night, Tony. It's just great having you in the conference and the chance we get to see each other a couple times during the course of the year.
Likewise, Steve. Looking forward to meeting you in person, and cannot wait to experience this Whiteout. I've seen it on TV 15 times before and feel really blessed to be there for number 16.
Hey, Tony, great to have you. Can't wait to see you, my friend. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Tony Castricone, the play-by-play voice of Washington football and basketball. Tony throws his heart and soul into a broadcast. He really does. I mean, Washington makes a play, you know he makes a play. And I mean that as an absolute compliment to him. You know, kind of like the way a suit throws himself into Shikellamy football.